This is Adrian Paul from Highlander, and you're listening to the Dead TV Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dead TV Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all TV shows in the Marvel Comics universe. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mr. Zeneca.
And tonight, Mr. Zeneca, what episodes are we talking about?
We are talking about Blade, the series, episodes 8 and 9.
Cool. And what is the plot synopsis for episode 8 on Spike TV?
Episode 8, The Sacrifice. So, on IMDb, it's listed as episode 7 because, you know, that pilot is two parts. But anyway.
Yeah. It gets confusing. Yeah,
it's confusing. But anyway. Originally aired Wednesday, August 9th, 2006. An old friend from Blade's childhood is murdered.
That's the best IMDb could do.
Maybe we'll have to update these.
We need to come up with some of our own because that kind of sucks. But going on.
Yeah. I mean, I really, really like this episode. Out of the two, this one was the better one. It has a lot of Blade's past. It goes through some of the troubles, even some of the points that I had raised earlier about how does Blade get blood, and those are answered in this episode. All those childhood mysteries.
Yeah, we also got a great interview coming up with one of the stars of Blade. We have a couple coming up, but one definitely in the can that we can mention is we have the actor who plays Van Scriber on coming up on for the final episode of the show.
Yes, that's going to be amazing. Neil Jackson.
Yeah, he was also Icicle on Stargirl, and among many things. But those are his two big comic book creds, playing bad guys. One made up for TV, one actual original DC comic character.
He's played a lot of bad guys.
A lot of bad guys. He had some interesting factoids to us to give us about, like, certain things that were happening on set, like, you know, a certain barbecued actress having to see her baby.
Oh, it's a great episode. It's a great interview, and it will be an amazing episode that we will have at the very end.
Definitely. How do we start this episode, Mrs. Zeneca?
Well, this one is basically, we see Stepan Razor, his, you know, leader at the Bad Blood gang, kill someone, like, right out in front, you know, at a shooting range.
Yep.
And turns out that this is officer or former officer Donnie Flanagan. And in a flashback, we find out that Donnie Flanagan is one of the cops that's helping Blade's dad, Eric's dad, hide the fact that the kid's not right, and just kind of bringing him back home every time that he runs away, understands what the situation is, and is trying to help out the family as much as possible, etc. But, you know, as Stepan Razor is wont to do, he's picking off everyone from Blade's past.
I think, messaged you offline that I just recently remembered that this guy is Lucky's father in Ghostbusters Afterlife. He doesn't appear in Frozen Empire, but he's the sheriff of the small town that they tear up Main Street with the Proton Pack and the Ecto-1.
That's true. I didn't even remember that.
Kind of a useless character, too, considering he's just in the one scene where the kids get arrested, but doesn't participate in any way with everything else that happens. So it doesn't even come back to be like, oh, you were right all along. And, you know, the dirt farmer's family was right. You know, just whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not his film, but still, it would have been nice to have a bit of a wrap up with Lucky's dad. Because Lucky returns in Frozen Empire, as she's working for Winston now.
Yeah. That's the only one cameo from him.
Yeah, but when I was watching this episode again, it was killing me. I was like, God, where have I seen this guy recently? Sure enough, Ghostbusters.
So in this episode, that character is trying to peck off every single person from Blade's past.
Oh.
And so the cop was the next one. And then after that, he's going to find his chess playing friend, you know, who ran the corner mart, Mr. Taka. And Mr. Taka is played by Hiro Kanagawa, and we've seen him before. he was in Reaper as Morris, and he was also as Elvis too from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures from 1992. Remember when we did that show?
Uh huh.
Yeah, he was Elvis number two in that one episode.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. It's funny how some of these actors come back around. Not that we're covering him in anything coming up, but we're going to be covering an actor from the very first... I'm going to be interviewing an actor from the very first TV show we ever covered, Kindred the Embraced. I have actually talked to on the phone. He was telling me some personal reasons why he had to cancel, but we actually had a little bit of a bonding over it because we were both kind of going through the same medical-related thing. Brian Thompson.
Oh, yes. We've been trying to get him on.
Well, he was only in the one show we've done, but it's been a while, but I've actually talked to him on the phone, and he wants me to message him again.
He was also in Alien Nation. So
oh, he was? Who was he in Alien Nation? I don't remember.
He was one of the kind of the mafia aliens.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I know what you're talking about.
I'm glad you're having an interview with Brian Thompson.
I am. I will, if I can make it work and you can join, I'll let you know. Otherwise, I will be running it solo. But it was mostly for Radio of Horrors. We're not covering anything on the Dead TV podcast, but I'll see if we can make it work. But it was nice of him to call me to tell me he had to cancel and not just send an email, but he said he wanted to give me a professional phone call. I was just like, dude, you didn't have to do that, but thank you.
That is great. That's very stand-up.
And I fucking recognized his voice immediately, too. I was like, oh, I know who you are. Wow, his voice does not sound any different. So that's some great stuff. Someone emailed me asking if we would ever cover Highlander because the movie is coming out with Henry Cavill. If you've noticed, there's been a bunch of casting announcements. You know, that's finally happening too, which is great. I think that has something to do with the fact that Henry Cavill got Voltron done with Amazon, and this is going to be on Amazon as well. That's why Highlander got done. Because Voltron got done with him, and now he's doing Highlander. You know, he's not doing Superman anymore, so...
Yeah, but Highlander is a lot of episodes. We have an upper limit.
Right, but he's doing just the movie, because they announced who's playing the villain to replace Mr. Krabs actor, what's his name, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was Lex Luthor on Smallville.
Yeah, I know
Clancy Brown, yeah, who was just on Dexter, by the way. So, but anyway, on to our actual episode. The computer system in this episode is as old and ancient as you can get out. It's kind of funny. Technology dates anything it's in.
Unfortunately, but yes.
Yeah, it includes cars, too. Like, the cars look, okay, they look kind of modern, but let's face it, anything on the computers looks... dated. And that even goes for like Alien, which is set like in the far flung future. They go back to it with the monitors in current Alien movies that match the ones from the 70s.
Okay.
So, but it's also cool to see Blade as a kid in 1977.
Yes, and this is where we're getting into all those flashbacks, and the young Blade is played by John Kent Etheridge. Who had kind of a smallish career, more had business as a child actor versus an adult actor. Not a lot that I can recognize, but he was the 12-year-old Black Dynamite on Black Dynamite. And he was in The Last Day of Summer as A.J. Perkins. And most recently was in a movie called Catfish Christmas as George. One of those, like, Lifetime Christmas movies, you know.
Catfish Christmas?
Hey, Catfish Christmas. Yeah, I know. It's just a silly Christmas movie that pays the bills, I suppose.
I met some people that have been on the show that do horror special effects, and I noticed a ton of Christmas credits on their list. And I was like, what did you do in these movies? Your IMDb is mostly horror films. They're like, oh, he creates snow. Snow is a special effect.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that before.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So... what we see is that every time one of the people get threatened or killed from his past, we see that flashback to the experience that Blade had with the person. So Blade has this flashback with Mr. Taka about playing chess. And his advice which kind of sticks through a lot of this episode, is learn to think like your opponent or you lose every time. And when Blade's dad kind of comes up to him and, you know, hey, Eric, we got to go. And he goes, and he hisses that vampire hiss. Definitely that thirst is coming about to him, coming up on him.
Right.
But it seems like that thirst hasn't yet really taken over. And he's this, like, 10-year-old kid, 11-year-old kid. And then the cop introduces Abraham Whistler as a young guy. And Blade, you know, Eric is chained up and trying to keep him out of trouble. Abraham Whistler is introduced. And in, you know, in the course of this episode, you find out why Whistler has that limp. And that is simply because Eric fucking broke his leg in one of these fights. Trying to get away, trying to, in all the chaos, just like the way a child would. And so sees his father get killed, goes crazy, kills the guys that are, you know, invading the house, etc., you know, and hurts Whistler in the process. This has a lot, this episode has a lot of great, great flashbacks. And you see that one of the people that Stepan Razor is going to attack is the girlfriend of his father. Like, during that time, she was a nurse and providing all the blood as blood transfusions to Eric. And she thought that she was not going to be able to cover up these tracks anymore. Like, they're getting really, getting very suspicious about what's going on with the blood.
So this contradicts what's said in the movies. In the movies, yeah. Whistler says that he finds Blade as a stray living in, like, the streets, feasting on rats, homeless people. He nearly killed him until he realized what he was, because it was probably daylight. It's not too explained. So in the movie, it's definitely made it seems like Blade probably didn't have a dad anymore, and his mom dies in the hospital. He goes into the foster system until he's old enough to figure out how to escape, because no one wants to adopt a kid like this. And that eventually Whistler finds him at a young age. This makes it seem like he's been raised by his dad since his mom was bitten. I don't like it, because it would basically, it should give Blade more of a humanity of being raised by at least one of his parents. At least this would explain his feral state.
I don't think this actually messes up the timeline at all.
I think it does. Because
even if Whistler says, like, I saw you and you're, you know, on the streets, blah, blah, blah. After this scene, Blade takes off. And so it's quite possible that Whistler did not actually meet him again until further down the road. He is, you know, living on the streets, et cetera, et cetera. So it is possible that even though Whistler didn't meet him technically, well, not exactly technically, because Whistler didn't really lay an eye on him until he escaped the room. In the realms of storytelling, this could actually still work.
I don't buy it.
I understand, yeah.
We also get the young vampire plot line, the little girl vamp.
Oh, yes, the Charlotte, the pureblood vampire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this episode, she eats a baby.
Yes! That's awesome. That reminds me of Dracula giving his wives the baby in the Keanu Reeves movie with directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola Dracula. Yes, this is perfect. We never actually, of course, see her eating the baby, but she says he's just cute enough to eat.
What does
in the Charlotte storyline?
By the way, the fact that the guy pulls the baby out of a bag is okay.
It was a carrying case.
Yeah, okay. I feel like somebody, there's a hole, they're like, it's cropped in a way that we don't see, and somebody's handing him the baby through the back. I do not believe he pulled a lot, because that's a real baby. This isn't like the Fantastic Four, where Franklin was clearly a CGI baby for some scenes.
No, this is definitely a real baby. Like a real, 9-month-old or so.
About 9 months. You've had some kids, you could tell me. I can't judge baby ages.
Yeah, okay. So, Charlotte is talking to her associate vampire, Glynis. And Glynis is talking about how the research that she's been doing on the money that they've been giving Marcus seems to be all good, or else he's covering it up rather well. But she warns Charlotte that he might actually not be working on the Aurora project because he shut down all the clinics for it, except for the one in Reno, Nevada. Chase is actually told that she's going to be going to Reno, Nevada. And I don't think we see that until next episode. But he shut down all of them. So Glynis warns Charlotte that something is happening and is very suspicious of Krista. And so she's going to, you know, do a little bit deeper digging on that. The nurse Viola, you know, part of the old association, Viola had renamed herself Sally Porter and is still a nurse and working for a nursing home. Well, Stefan Razor actually finds her and drowns her.
Mm.
And that water is still, like, she is drowned, but Blade brings her back doing CPR and you know, saying, like, you know, don't leave on me. And so she wakes up and says that Stefan Razor is going to find his dad. Of course, she doesn't know the name of Stefan Razor. She just points to the tattoos mm-hmm. on Blade's neck and said, like, he had these. So he knows who it is because all the other gang members are dead. So he is surprised that his father is still alive after all this time. His dad is not dead. And that was a shock, but both, like, he kind of rejects his dad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, yeah. And then we see the Detective Collins at the very end of the episode. Detective Collins, who is still on the case, still investigating, despite being told that this is not his jurisdiction anymore, still on the case, and he busts into Krista looking in on her mother, and Krista bites her mom and suffocates her to kill her to turn her into a vampire. The detective busts in while Glynis has found Krista and kind of having that kind of just before the battle starts. And then the episode ends with Detective Collins, oh shit, because what did he just walk into? An absolute nightmare for a human.
Yeah, that entire plotline, Krista doing that, is the stupidest thing that they could have had the character do.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I don't like the next episode, but let's get to that when we actually get into it.
Yeah, why don't we take a quick break? I have a podcast promo to play for a podcast that's helping me with Colleen the Vampire, the Dracula Tale story that you can go on Kickstarter right now and help fund. It's a sequel to Vlad a Dracula Tale, and we'll be back with the next episode of the Dead TV Podcast. And we're back with the next episode of the Dead TV Podcast. Rarifications of Krista's stupidity, as I like to call it.
Absolutely.
This is the worst plot of the entire show, in my opinion.
I did not like this episode, so let me get to the synopsis here.
It'll be a quick one.
Season 1, Episode 9, or 8, depending on. Turn of the Screw, originally aired Wednesday, August 16th, 2006. Krista asks Blade for help as her mother has run away, and Alex wants to save Chase from Marcus. Yeah.
This by the way, we also didn't point out that Chase is looking very of the Veil.
She's still recovering.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny the way she's, you know, doing it up to look like the way she is.
Yeah, her face is still a little crunchy, so she's got the Veil on.
Crunchy! I wonder if she tastes like burnt bacon.
Ooh.
Up there, down there, everywhere, just saying. Tastes like bacon down here still. Could you go bathe?
Oh, no. Ew. Okay.
This is not a derogatory thing, people. This is, like, the way she looks.
So there's, like, a couple plot strings here. We have Krista and her stupid decision to turn her mom because her mother had leukemia. And it just does not end well. These things just don't end well every time you try it. You know, she does it. Her mother gets away, you know, from the last episode. And now she can't find her. Her mother's, like, eating people left and right. It's kind of a tired vampire trope, I guess.
It's a complete clusterfuck of a mess.
And then there's the storyline of Chase in Nevada. And while she's in Nevada, she meets up with some leaders there wanting to talk business. And, you know, one of the ringleaders is like, well, you know, if you can't meet me in person, then I don't care. Nothing's really going right for her. And then she meets up with a pureblood. And this pureblood, she had some sort of relationship with in the past. And I believe, was that the character Max Sorensen?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. He is played by Fulvio Cesar. And he has been in a number of different things. Resident Evil Afterlife. Chaos, as Detective Thomas Branch there. Character actor for a few things. He was on a couple episodes of Supernatural, too. Zombie, Continuum.
Two episodes of Supernatural?
Huh?
Two episodes of Supernatural?
Two episodes of Supernatural, yes.
It's also funny how fast Chase has kind of recovered for the most part. I mean,
she has had a steady string of blood, so, you know, her recovery is quite fast given the amount of body coverage of those burns.
I guess so.
But she is back up to her full speed and rolling in bed with this guy.
Mm.
And turns out, you know, in this storyline of, like, there is some passionate lovemaking, etc. Marcus finds them in bed together in the morning, and then they end up drugging him and strapping him to a chair in the lab. And turns out that Project Aurora, at least from the substance that was taken out of the womb of Vanessa, mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was not Project Aurora. That is instead this pet project that Marcus has, which it turns out is specifically for a bloodline or a specific DNA sequence that is targeting, according to the CDC officer that was talking with Blade and Shen.
Also, we get we get Marcus's backstory too.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
We'll get more of that into another episode because there's a whole episode with him and Krista. But this is your typical vampire plotline, love lost. Did you ever see Being Human?
No.
Either version, the American or the British version?
No.
Ah. So this reminds me of that. Go watch that. Go watch either one of those. Those are pretty good. I don't think we'll cover them. I think they had like a beginning, a middle, and end.
Yeah.
We cover shows that are abruptly canceled. So.
True. So this project, the reason they strapped him to the chair, the reason that Chase kind of lured him to his doom is because this substance, when prepared properly and administered as an aerosol, kills purebloods. And so this is to prove that no pureblood vampire is actually immortal. And so this is actually going to kill all of the purebloods, Charlotte, everyone, in order to make sure that the people that are turned, the infected, are the only vampires remaining. And it is some great effects that they do on this body, like as they're killing him, like the skin is bubbling, there's black blood coming out, it's this, like there's a face on his face that's, you know, sliding off. Like, it is gory, it is amazing, it is high quality. I utterly recommend this death scene. But the rest of the episode, you know, the mother being turned and then Krista having to kill her at the end of the episode, you know, because the serum won't work on her because she's fed from too many people. You know, this is just an episode of, well, you knew this was not going to work out for you.
It's just such bad decision making on her part. Like, she should have consulted somebody, like, you know, because of her being and then of course Krista just like continues making worse decisions by nursing Van Scriver back to health and then fucking him.
Yeah.
They're totally making out and it totally leads to them fucking.
Yeah.
That's like, and then there's gonna be like a whole detox in the next one with like her, you know, being you know, hyped up on his blood.
Yeah.
The fact that she's drinking human blood and she's taking his and they're going at it with each other, it doesn't sit very well with Blade. I mean, it just feels like she's gotten laid a little too close to Van Scriber when she's supposed to hate this guy.
True. And that's really all the notes I have. There wasn't a lot in this episode, like the intrigue. There's a lot of dialogue that was going on in this episode, but not a lot of super, super action. We're chasing the mother through the episode, and she's killing people. But honestly, the mother was not a very good storyline, in my opinion.
Indeed. Yeah, no, I don't like it either. I recommend going over to Edward Rigby's YouTube channel, by the way. He has a great hour-long video on the history of the Blade franchise and what went wrong with
Ooh.
It.
Oh, okay.
Definitely worth checking out. I haven't been able to find a lot of Spike TV promos for Blade, but I will continue looking so we can post it with the podcast.
Okay, cool.
Mr. Zeneca, do you have any events coming up? Don't edit this part. Don't mention the one that you're obviously at, because this is not going to be posted for a few weeks, so.
Well, I just had my big toga party, which ended up being a little bit smaller since I had to move the venue from my usual venue spot to my house. But it was amazing. It was like 3 days of party, and it was awesome. Awesome. I don't have any other events coming up because I'm going into my end of the year decor season where we work on building monsters, which you can see us as we make them on Elegantly Kinky on Instagram. And we're going to be doing our deep into the Halloween horror process, and then we move on to Christmas. I will let you know when we have another event scheduled.
Awesome. And you can find me over on Radio of Horror Sunday nights from 10 to 12, where I have all sorts of interviews with actors and things like that. We're going to have Judith O'Day from Night of the Living Dead on the show. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting episode of the Dead TV podcast and a possible special guest as well. Not the one that we already exposed, but another one who's a recurring cast member of the show.
Good night.